there are various aspects of the relationship with between God and Abraham that one could try to chart. On previous occasions, we made some kind of an attempt to reconstruct the chronology, biography of Abraham in terms of what happened at different parts of his life, which is far more complicated than you would imagine. There's another issue which is intertwined with that, and that's the issue of trying to follow the geography of where Abraham goes from place to place along the way. What I want to look at today is a third part of this, again, this constructing this biography, but this is what I would call more of the spiritual biography of Abraham. When I say the spiritual biography, again, not so much what happened at different stages of his life, but one very specific point that I want to look at, and that is to try to chart what it is that God said to Abraham at various stages and what exactly is the relationship between Abraham and God, or God and Abraham, as we go from place to place. So let's begin in the beginning, Lech Lecha. And what we're going to look for here is two things. There's always the easier thing to look for, and that is what it says. And the harder thing to look for is what it doesn't say. So let's keep in mind both of those things. Source number one, Vayomer. And once again, if you need the English, please bring a Chumash with English. If you don't need the English, then very good. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, God said to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecho me'ladetecho me'beit avicha, go from your Artzecho would be your land, your birthplace, your father's home. Ela aretz asher areka, into the land that I will show you. So here we have God reaching out, instructing, go and do. The obvious comparison, and there are a couple of comparisons here, but the first obvious comparison that we would make would be a comparison with previous heroes, and that would be obviously with Noah. Noah, we have Noah being chosen, go build the ark, and there's going to be a flood, and there's going to be a calamity, and therefore you're going to be saved, and your family's going to be saved. But with Noah, at least we have an introduction saying, and you are because you're a tzaddik, right? Tzaddik tamim haya b'doratav. Et helokim et halech Noah. Which means, even though we've had some critique over the tzidkut of Noach, nonetheless, there is some kind of reason. Over here, we don't see anything, but God just says, go. And then he continues and says as follows, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation, va'avarechecha, and you're going to be, I'm going to bless you, va'agadla shemecha, I'm going to make you very renowned, make your name great. V'heyeh bracha, and you will be blessed, or a source of blessing. Continues to say, V'avarecha mivarechecha, I will bless those who bless you, u'mekalalecha, or curse those who cursed you. V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachot adama, and all peoples will be blessed through you. So, first of all, this sounds very nice, and we have no problem with this, this is good, this is positive. But what's not here? There are two things which are, at least two. You can say lots of things. You can say winning the lottery is not here also. You can say... Okay, so there are two elements which are missing at this point. Right. Well, the two things which are missing, one would be giving him the land of Israel. It does not say this here. All that it says is you should go from here and go to the place I'm going to tell you. It doesn't even tell him what that place is. Go. But there's no guarantee of the land. There's no giving the land. There's no promise of the land. The second thing which is missing, which may be a little bit harder to discern, and that is he did not promise him children at this point. All that he says is I'm going to make you into a great nation. You can be a great nation in many ways. You could be a leader of a nation and not necessarily have any children. So he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. That does not necessarily mean anything in terms of a biological continuity. All that this means is that you will be the leader of some kind of a movement. So I'm saying the two elements which aren't here, and again, the reason that we can know this is because these elements do come as we proceed. But that's what's missing at this particular point.
Even though it says he's going to be a big nation.
Right.
A great nation.
Right.
That is there.
Well, you guys should take this outside and argue. But what, again, the one element, you're going to be the head of a great nation, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you, that they will be from your descendants.
But it doesn't say he's going to be the head. He says he's going to be a great nation.
Right. V'eschal l'goy gadol. I'll make you. Okay. What about right now? What about right now? When Avram comes, the next couple of sukkim it's going to say, and he comes, v'kol ha'nefesh ha'shesu b'charan. Okay, and now let's say that picks up, and right, we don't know what kind of numbers he has. The Rambam, it's very interesting, because the Rambam, you know, you would think in his Mishnah Torah, our ultra-rationalist, the Rambam, would stay away from Midrashim and Agadot. Every now and again, Rambam just, without you noticing, just sticks a Midrash or an Agadah in the middle of the Mishnah Torah. When it comes to the laws of idolatry, in which he really goes back to a spiritual history of the world, he talks about Avram and he says that Avram gathered around him tens of thousands of people. So if Avram really has tens of thousands of followers, I will make you into a great nation. What, I'm just pointing out what, and that's why I said it's a little hard to discern it. It just doesn't happen to say that this will be from your biological children. It could be from... I'll make you into a great nation. Yes. So, again, all of the critiques that you're going to tell me, I'm fine with, except there's one problem. The one problem is it doesn't actually say what will be said very clearly later on. That's No. The other thing which is interesting here is something which maybe we don't necessarily note also. It sounds as if that there's a quid pro quo over here. That God says to Avram, you do this, this, and this, and then I'm going to do this and this. Which means that there are two sides to this coin over here. Even though we could be perhaps very tempted to look at this very differently. We could have said that for Avram to have left, you know, where he came from was probably a very good idea, very good advice. On the other hand, we do find that Chazal talk about something which is amorphous, and that is the 10 tests that Avraham has. Even though there are 10 tests, you will not find a consensus of what those 10 tests were, but there are 10 tests. There's only one test that it actually says it was a test, and God tested Avraham. That only appears one time, so you can look at this and say, okay, perhaps this is one of... Perhaps this is, in fact, one of the tests. You know, as we go a little bit further on, Avraham acquiesces in source number 2. Vayavor Avraham ba'aretz ad makom Shechem ad elon moreh v'aknani az ba'aretz vayira Hashem el Avram vayomer lizaracha atein et ha'aretz hazot. Okay, when I said that those two elements were missing before, so do you now see that they're said in both of them now, or said in a much clearer way right here in front of us? Which means, again, we're charting this relationship between God and Avraham. Now he says, Lizar'acha, which means your biological descendants, I will give this land. So we have over here two different types of blessings. One blessing is a blessing, is really a blessing of blessing. You will be blessed, who blesses you will be blessed, who curses you will be cursed. And now comes in these other two elements, children and the land of Israel. Yes. This land. Okay. So this... I'm saying Israel, even though perhaps I should not. If you want to argue with me, I'm fine with that. But what he does say is, again, he travels, he gets to Shechem, he gets to Elon Moreh. The Knani are the owners of the land at this point. What did God say to him originally? I'm going go lech lecha to which place? Ha'aretz asher areka. To the place that I will share, Areka, I will show you. He comes here, Vayira Hashem al Avraham, and now God appears to Avram. So that's apparently the fulfillment of Eretz Asher Reka. God appears to Avram. So what is Avram? And he says to him, I'm giving you this land to your descendants. So what's Avram's response? It's very, very clear when you read the words now. Vayivan Shem is Beach la Hashem Hanira Elav. He goes and he builds an altar to God who has revealed himself to him, which means here we have this revelation. So what we have so far, okay, Avram has lots of blessings. If we continue... Right. If we continue, again... Avram, what we're skipping over here is Avram continues to go south. The whole time he keeps going south. He gets to the next place. He builds a Mizbeach. God did not reveal himself to him that second time, which, by the way, itself is a question. Why? Or you could say it's not necessary. See, it was only necessary once to show him which land he wanted him to go to. He reveals himself. He gets to a second place. He builds another Mizbeach, but God does not reveal himself at that point.
But how does he know that God wants him to make the sacrifice?
Very, very, very good. By the way, okay. By the way, it never says that he made a sacrifice. It says he builds a Mizbeach. He makes some kind of a religious edifice in this place that God has revealed himself. As I said, he does it again, but the next time God did not reveal himself. He continues to go further south, which of course can allow you then to ask a question. Yeah. So he keeps on going further south. Then we're told that there is a famine, and he goes further south, and he goes to Egypt. I will raise the question, does Avram necessarily know that he just now crossed the border, and now he went to a place that was too far south, or does he not necessarily know that? I'll also ask another question. And the other question is, has Avram fulfilled that which God asked him to do? Which means, again, we have a relationship over here. God tells him to do something. Has he necessarily done that which God asked him to do?
God obviously didn't show him that Canaan was the place that he said, to the place that I'll show you. But he didn't say you're here.
Well, he reveals himself. He reveals himself. So I said, I'm going to give your children, your descendants, this land. That sounds pretty much like right. Although... We don't know if he actually showed him a vision of the exact borders, and if he included Yehudah v'Shomron, he didn't include it. If he got the map from CNN, or if he got the map from we don't know which map he was given at that point. And sometimes this can get a little complicated. But again, I'm asking the question, which may sound a little strange, but did he really fulfill that which God asked him to fulfill? Again, if we were talking about chronology, then I would point out another problem, and that problem is that how long does it take him to actually start his mission? As I said, I believe we've spoken about this before. He goes down to Egypt, and now all this time God does not reveal himself, unless you want to say that God... striking the Egyptians as some kind of a revelation, right? Later on, it will be described as a revelation. But it's also, I want to point out something else, which I don't know how much we've really have thought about. When you follow through the lives in the text of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, all the way through the Shvatim, how many open miracles do you see God performing for them, which means you move over to Sefer Shemot, and you have seas splitting, you have heavens opening, you have all kinds of you have lice come, well, that we still have today. You have all kinds of things happening. Sefer Shemot is so much more impressive when it comes to miracles. Again, you go back, creation is pretty impressive, flood not bad at all, right? But when we move to Avraham. Again, I don't know if you've noticed this. We just now move so much more into a much more of a natural existence, and the exception of this is when he goes to Egypt, which was God's will or against God's will, and the commentaries do not necessarily like that he went down. especially the Ramban. Well, the Ramban was a Zionist, so he would not like this. But especially when he goes down. Although I do want to note, that's the one time that you do see this really open miracle taking place. Although you could say it wasn't for Avram, you could say it was for Sarah, and you can have that a whole other discussion from that. Anyway, what we don't have is God speaking, which means God spoke Lech Lecha. God revealed Himself and spoke when He gets to Eretz Canaan. Avram goes to another place, has some kind of an epiphany. When I say epiphany, some kind of sense of something, builds another Mizbeach, but there's no revelation. Goes down, there's a famine. By the way, this is a perfect time for God to communicate. Right? Wouldn't it be nice now God to communicate, okay, there's a famine, Avram, let me give you some advice. Later on, by Yitzchak, God is going to tell him, don't go when there's a famine. I mean,
why did Terach? Terach was the first one.
Leave me with Terach right now.
No, I'm saying, he didn't get a revelation.
Either he didn't. But let's leave it. Maybe we'll get back to Terach. We'll see. We'll get back to Terach. God said, okay, I'll tell you Terach. God said to Avraham later on, he says, I'm God. Nice to meet you. I am the one who took you out of Ur Kasdim. When you read the end of last week's parsha, what does it say? It says that Terach took him out of Ur Kasdim. So why is God taking credit if Terach did it? Apparently, God subcontracted. Right? He subcontracted. And he put this idea in Terach's head to take him out. Now God says, your father, you know, he was a flag-waving citizen. And why did he suddenly pick up and move? God is saying, I did this. But again, it goes back exactly to the point that I would say that even though you're trying to take me away from it, that even when it happens in this very natural way where Terach has this idea, hold it, road trip, let's travel, let's see the world, you know, this could be so meaningful.
Or let's get out of the place where they're trying to kill.
Yeah, but it's interesting that Terach didn't seem to be, I know, but Terach didn't seem to be all that troubled by this, and even according to the timeline of the Seder Olam, it still takes him from the age of 48 to the age of 70 till that was actually done. So you have some 22 years that went by till they actually leave. Okay, let's maybe he did. Now, let's good. So let's go back now. So through all of this, as we've been going through, God does not speak again, and I'm going to say it again, it would have been very convenient for God to speak. It would have been very good to say, you hear. It would have been very good to say, oh, there's a famine, don't go. Meaning, I can play the famine in two different ways. I can play it one way, say, okay, this is one of the tests, and this was a terrible thing, and as the Ramban, this is a sin that Avraham did. Or I can say, with the flip side of what, depends how you want to read that Ramban, which I did not expect to be reading, that maybe the reason he's going down is in order to bring those miracles down that will then happen later on in Egypt. Because you have over here an interesting, what we call Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim, that when the children go down, there is going to be an attempt to kill the males, right? Keep the females. There's going to be plagues, right? And then they're going to leave Birechush Gadol with a great deal of wealth. That whole story takes place right over here in a microcosm with Avraham. So it could be, this is part of the divine plan. As I said, that Avraham is such a holy person, the fact that he and Sarah are going to go down, and these miracles are going to happen, so in a certain sense, these miracles now are, as it were, taken out of some upper storehouse in heaven, brought down to earth, and now they're ready to be utilized when necessary. So as I said, I can take it two ways, or I can say, and the Rabban says this, but he also says, the reason the Jews were punished and taken down to Egypt was because Avram left the land of Israel. So he goes both ways on this, and says it's a Ma'aseh Avot Siman in a negative way, and also in a positive way, so it's quite challenging. But what's our point? Our point instead is something which we're quite used to, and what's that? And that's God's silence. There is no communication taking place. And I'm not going to say I'm troubled by that, but I'm certainly intrigued by that. We continue to the next dialogue. When they come up, source number 3, Vayal Avram Mimitzrayim, Hu Vishto V'chol Asher Lo, Vilot Imo HaNegba, and Lot is with them, and they go up to the Negev, right? This is going up to the Negev. Va'avim kaved ma'od b'mignei b'kesuv v'zahav yilech masav b'negev v'ad b'etel o'makom asher haya shem o'la b'tchila b'in b'etel u'b'in ha'ay il makom ezbech asher asa shem b'rishna v'yikra sham Avram b'shem Hashem. But there's no response. Again, he goes up, he tries, but there is no response over here. So again, I'm going to point out that the silence is interesting. V'gam lo to'olechet Avraham hayatzonu v'kavo olim. So what's going to happen... Yes. This is Bain Beit El Uvein Ha'ai. Okay, so still our silence. Then we get to this whole issue between Lot and between Avraham. And there is a possibility we'll talk about Lot more next week. We haven't decided. But we're leaning in that direction. V'Hashem, source 4, Perek Yud Gimel, V'Hashem Amar El Avram, Acharehi Pared Lot Me'imo. God speaks to him after Lot separated from him. Now that itself is very interesting, because there seems to be a cause and effect as well. It's not just that we've had silence, and so much so that I'm even going to raise something which maybe will sound a little strange. When... Can you look if there's a chumash in the back there someplace? A chumash bereishit. When Avraham goes, God gave him an instruction. What was the instruction? Leave your what? And what was the sequence? Leave your land, your birthplace, and your father's house. Now it's been pointed out by many that the sequence should have been perhaps a little different. What should it have been? It should have been leave your father's house. So, when we keep in mind, thank you, when we keep in mind your question, that Terach himself had left the birthplace, so then you would say no. They left the town, but they left the town together with his father's house. So even though first thing you should leave is your father's house, but not when your father's house left with you. So now my question really then becomes, okay, at which point did Avraham really leave his father's house? So there's something interesting which we glossed over. But when he actually leaves, it says as follows. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. Now, how does that sound to you? So he did what God told him to do. But then it says something else. And it's the next three words, which again, I think are completely intriguing. Vayelech ito lot. What does that mean? Vayelech ito lot. Vayelech ito lot. So it sounds like Lot tagged along. Continue. Va'Avraham ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shom betzeto micharan. Va'yikach Avraham et Sarai ishto v'lot ben achiv et kol rechusham asher rechashu v'nefesh shishav b'charan. Do you notice that something was just now repeated? Now it says that Avram takes Lot with him. So I'm going to go back and ask you, make up your mind, which is it? Is that Lot tags along, or is that Avram takes him with him? Which one?
So first.
Exactly. So it sounds like Lot's joining was not necessarily Avram's plan. Just to understand also the complexity. Okay? According to Rashi, you heard that introduction just now? Three words, according to Rashi. What is the relationship between Sarah and Lot? See, I asked the wrong question. You were ready for me to ask something else. They were brother and sister. They were brother and sister. Ah, see, nobody knows that.
I know,
what if I said? She's always saying it out. Okay. Sibling. Why does Rashi say this? Because at the end, because it says v'yikach Avraham v'nachor lahem nashim shem eshet Avraham Sarai v'shem eshet nachor Milkah bat Haran. So his brother married Milkah bat Haran, avi Milkah v'avi Yiska. Rashi then tells us, oh, Yiska is Sarah. So therefore, who is their father? And when Lot was introduced, it says, again, the et Haran. Haran holid et Lot. Haran had a son named Lot. Afterwards, it says that Nachar married that Nahor married Milcah, the daughter of Haran. So he married his niece. But if it's the daughter of Haran, the daughter of Haran is the sister of Lot. Then if Yiscah is Sarah, which is what Rashi says, that means that Sarah and Lot were brother and sister. So that also just now made it more complicated. By the way, when he says Anashim Achim Anachnu, right, we're brothers, it actually rings even a little bit, you know, more true now. Okay.
Brothers-in-law.
Yeah, well, brothers-in-law. So let's just keep this in mind for a second. And I'm going to ask you again, and I think you said it correctly, but again, I just want to stand this point. Avram originally does not have in mind to take Lot. Lot comes along. So if Lot comes along, then Avram acquiesces and takes Lot. But at some point, they separate as well. And when they do separate, the separation is pretty complete. Later on, when we take a look, we're going to see that Avraham goes back and he will say to God, listen, you know, remember this children blessing that we were talking about? It doesn't seem to be working out. And all that I have to inherit me is Eliezer. And there was a closer relative over there who could have inherited him. That closer relative was Lot, who, depending on how you want to look at it, was his nephew or was his brother-in-law, right? Or both. So there was somebody else, but apparently this separation becomes an absolute permanent separation. But now I want to go back and just put it in different terms.
What's the word for
brother-in-law? Modern Hebrew, it's gis. I don't know if that's ever used in, I don't think it's ever used. Gis. I don't know if it's a, what? So, going back. Okay. So going back to before we lose focus, God told him to leave his hometown, his land, and his father's home. Does taking Lot with him confound the leaving of his father's home? Which means if that's the case, okay. So Sarah becomes more. Sarah is more interesting. So apparently Sarah was part of the deal. And I'll even go so far as to say that I can justify bringing Sarah. I know this sounds like it sounds hilarious now. Hold it. Who said you can bring Sarah with you? Well, maybe that's exactly the point. But nefesh asher asu b'charan, that Sarah is part of that endeavor, the spiritual endeavor which Avram is involved in, which is actually why at some point he has to part ways and separate from his father's house. You've only gone as far as you can go with your father. Now you really need to go and to move on. But again, is the taking of Lot fulfilling what God is telling him to do? Or is the taking of Lot perhaps breaking what God told him to do? So again, when we go back and we read source number 4, it becomes more interesting. Vashem Amar El Avram Acharehi Pared Lot Mi'ima. Which means now that Lot has left, now we continue the conversation. Which also seems to be that if I'm going to go back to God's side, God says to Avram, pick up and leave your father's home. And then he goes, he gets to the land of Israel, go to the land they're going to show you. God reveals himself. Okay, and then God doesn't speak to Avram again. He doesn't speak to him again. He builds another Mizbeach. There's no revelation. Doesn't know what to do. There's a famine. He goes down to Egypt. He goes back to Egypt, goes back and builds Mizbeach. God doesn't communicate with him. And only now, after the separation from Lot, does God communicate again. And that's really why I'm really leaning in that direction to say that the separation from his father's house was not complete until this point, which actually makes it much later than we would have imagined, which again, why I want to say within that verse, that's the last thing which is mentioned. And leave, take a break, cut, separate from your father's house, which seems to be Lot. And as I said, maybe we already spoke too much about Lot, but I believe Neder have more to say. Let's read now what God says in source 4 when he does separate from Lot. Vashem amar l'Avram acharei pared Lot mi'imo. It's also interesting. Haparei pared Lot mi'imo. Lot was the one who decided to join him, and Lot was the one who decided to separate from him, and now God speaks to him. Which actually sounds that maybe... Okay. But it's interesting how it says it. Acharei pared Lot mi'imo. He says, Sana Einecha Ure'ei. So now once again, we have a vision now is coming. Sana Einecha Ure'ei Min HaMakom HaShatam Tzvona V'negba V'kedra V'yama. Now he tells him, again, a little bit better description of the boundaries, which we did not necessarily have before. Look, north, south, east, west. Ki et kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh, lecha etnena ulezarecha ad olam. Again, we have now this communication regarding what? Regarding the land and regarding children. V'samti et zarecha ka'afar ha'aretz. Now we get added a whole nother blessing. Not only we have children, there will be ka'afar ha'aretz, which may actually be a linkage between this blessing of having children and ve'ezcha l'goy gadol. I mean, goy gadol before, as I said, it did not necessarily have to be manifest through children. At this point, I think it does become. Okay, again, v'samti tzarecha ka'afar ha'aretz asher im yuchal ish lomnot et ka'afar ha'aretz gam zarecha imaneh. Kum hitalech ba'aretz l'arka ul'rechva ki l'cha nena. And again, walk around, make your mark, take ownership of it. So again, he builds a mizbeach, which is his response to having some kind of a revelation. But we realize, again, just paying attention when God speaks and when God doesn't speak. Moving over now to Perek Tedvav. So what happens here in the middle? In the middle, we have a little bit more intrigue. We have our wars, the four kings against the five kings. Yes. Yes, correct.
So I said, the
no, no, what I said is that God says to go, he goes, God speaks to him at that point, but then we have silence afterwards. Lot is with him. Lot is with him at this point. But meaning, Avram fulfilled Lech Lecha. What am I really saying? He fulfilled Lech Lecha partially. So God speaks to him partially. When Lot leaves, then God continues, as it were, the conversation. That's more or less what I'm saying. If you look at source number 5, it continues on, and source number 5 is a little complex, but it says, "Achar divrei ma'ela hayad dvar Hashem el Avram b'machazeh lemor, al tira Avram anochi magen lecha schacha harbe ma'od." This is after the whole battle of the kings, which, by the way, how did he get into the whole trouble to begin with now? Because of Lot. Because of Lot. Which means, despite the fact that he separated from Lot, he's still really willing to go to battle in order to save him, which also then tells you something about Avram. Vayomer Avram Hashem Elokim Mati Tenli Veniho Lech Ariri Uven Meshek Beiti Hud Meshek Eliezer. Okay, so as we said before, Avram is saying, okay, you know, it's almost, you know, you've promised, but this is not really, doesn't seem to be working out. And of course, Lot is ignored here. Vayomer Avram Hein Li Lo Natna Zara Vinei Ben Beiti Yoreshoti. According to the status quo, I do not have any children, and the one who's going to inherit me. And again, you can imagine, are we talking about inheritance in terms of finances, in terms of cattle, or are we talking about inheritance in terms of spiritually, who's going to be taking over? I mean, it is one of the interesting things, and if you, I don't want to call it a mystery, but it is one of the interesting things. Whatever happened to the Nefesh Asher Sabacharon, Asubacharon? Whatever happened to all these people? They ended up disappearing. There was once... In Torah Vidas, there was a Rosh Yeshiva. This is many years ago. And the Rosh Yeshiva passed away. And they brought in a new Rosh Yeshiva. So the first Rosh Yeshiva was somebody who gave this wonderful, I'll call it a brisker type of shir, but a conceptual shir. And the new Rosh Yeshiva came in and he gave a daf shir. And he was learning Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, and everything was simple. And the Talmidim started to complain. You know, he's taking over the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Menahel of Torah Vidas, Mr. Mendelovitz, he got up and he said to the boys in the yeshiva as follows. I think the first one was of Shlomo Haman, and I forgot the name of the one who took over. But he said as follows. He said, whatever happened to the Nefesh Asher Subacharon? So he says that Avram Avinu gave this great brisk shir. And he was very charismatic, and Yitzchak wasn't as charismatic. He gave a simple daf shir. So he goes, what happened? He goes, all the nefesh yeshuva, they all went. They left. They went to a different yeshiva. So it could be that under the leadership of Yitzchak, you know, Yitzchak, there's many things to say about Yitzchak, but he doesn't seem to have that same type of charisma. And I know it's very strange for us to talk about charisma, about people that we don't see all that much about, but apparently, yeah, he's very passive. So apparently, he says that he gave a simple daf shir while Avram gave this incredible brisker shir. So what happened to the old nefesh asubacha? They all went to tells. I don't know. They left. They went someplace else. So it could be that it also could be another issue. could also be that once that we have the commandment of Bris Milah, it could also be that that maybe some of these say, no, maybe there's someplace else to go. I'm being very serious about that. That becomes a defining issue for the children. Okay, when we look now at this, let's focus. When God said Lech Lecha, there was something he got for it. What did he get for it? When he said Lech Lecha, what did he get for it? He got these blessings. When he got the blessings. Your name will be great, and so on. When he comes to the land of Israel again, God blesses him, and he gives him the land of Israel and tells him to have children. And he builds him his bath. When he comes back, he tells him you're going to be as numerous as the sand. And God gives him a commandment again, much easier command this time. What's his command this time? Kum hitaleich ba'aretz. Go on until you'll look around, go on until... But what's interesting is that we constantly have, again, this quid pro quo going between God says something and then the response that Avram needs to have. I didn't say it's so easy.
I think that's probably the hardest thing.
To go today? To go walking around? Or? Okay. I sort of thought it was easier compared to the Akedah, but okay. So look. Okay. So let's. Okay. So let's.
Yeah.
You also thought the Akedah sounded good with some of our kids. So let's continue. When we get to source number five, Avraham, again we have a revelation. God says, I'm going to protect you. And Avraham now makes a request. Okay, remember your former promises? So what's going to be with them? Pasukei, God now says, take a look up at the stars. Vayetzei oto achutza, vayom habet na hashamayimo, spora kochavim, im tuchal usporotam, vayom alo ko yezarecha. So here now he speaks about the stars. V'min ba'ashem v'yachshivu lo tzedaka. And he believed in God, and he saw it as a charitable act. That's how I'm going to translate this. There's more than one way to translate this, and there's more than one way to direct regarding who is it talking about. Is it that God appreciates the belief in the fidelity of Avraham, or does Avraham, is he appreciative of God giving him the blessing? Now, I'd rather read it on Avraham being appreciative. And it sounds to me, again, I just want to follow the same line all the way through. It may very well be that Avram realizes that he did not fulfill Lech Lecha the way that he was supposed to. That he may realize now that this whole episode with Lot was quite problematic, and Lot never should have come with him, and Lot should have stayed back with Terach, and maybe he didn't fulfill what God said. And therefore, maybe what's in back of Avram's mind is maybe the blessings that God had said to him. Maybe he's not deserving of these blessings. Maybe he has not lived up to his side of things. And again, and when God says, no, you will have children, he sees it, as far as he's concerned, this is a charitable act on God's part, which is also very important, because there are other people, again, I just want to go back to the character of Avraham, there are other people that God can promise them something, and then they turn around, it didn't happen, a week, month, whatever goes by, so they turn around, and they you know, litigation. Take God to court. What's going on over here? You promised, and get some witnesses over here and sue. And Avraham speaks over here. First of all, he speaks out of desperation, and he says he doesn't come up and it's not accusing. He goes, I don't have anyone to inherit me. I have a problem. And then God says, no, I'm going to do it. He sees it as a charitable thing. So I'm just saying, it's very interesting, Avraham's spiritual state of mind, not one of demanding and not one, as they say in Hebrew today, magiali, right? I deserve this. I have this coming. That's not what Avraham sees. Even though God has promised, he sees God's coming back and saying, I will keep my promise. Avraham sees this as something, as a completely charitable act, which is, in reality, he's completely undeserving of. So that he has a problem, but he's undeserving of it. Now, if we continue over here and going through the rest of this discussion, he's then told again to do something, and this is what's called the Brit Bein Abtarim: take these animals, cut them in half, and so on. And then we get, and all that is done. Right. So again, promise, blessing, response on Avram's side. Constantly a two-sided relationship. We then get to Pasuk Yud Bet. Now I'm going to tell you right now that Pasuk Yud Bet is incredibly complicated. I'm going to say something first which may seem unnecessary, but there's a question that arises. I'm still in source number 5, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Yud Bet. The question right now is this simply a continuation of the Brit Bein Abitarim, in the sense that is this just a continuation of what was already said, or is this a different vision? And I'll show you why I'm even raising that as a question right now, because in the middle of this vision, we now have a dream, as it were, a dream sequence. So it's very funny, right? And the sun sets, and Avram now has a dream. But what, meaning, God is just speaking. Why do I need a dream and a revelation? And I'm just, again, this could be a separate story being told, but within this particular context. Avram falls into a deep sleep, which is similar to when Adam, which is also was two sides to this. On the one hand, he got a wife. On the other hand, he lost a rib, right? V'tar dema nafla al Avraham, v'hine eima chasheicha gdola nofelet alav. This incredible sense of fear. Those of you who want to make a movie out of it, you can already start thinking of the lighting and the music that you would put in on this point. It would definitely be scary music. V'yomer la Avram, God says to Avram, yodea teda kiger yezar acha, v'eretz lo lahem, v'avadum v'inu otam arbama ot shana. That there will be 400 years duration. There'll be a land which isn't theirs. There's going to be slavery. There'll be servitude. There'll be inui. How does it translate inui? Oppression. And then, as I said, they're going to leave with great wealth, just like we had previously with Avraham. Right, the fourth generation is going to come back. The sun comes up, and there's smoke, and so on. Pasuk Yudchet, Bayomahu Karata Shem et Avraham Brit Lemor. On that day, God made a covenant with Avraham, saying, Lazar Acha, to your descendants, Natati et Aret Azot, Minahar Mitzrayim, Ad Hanahar Hagadol Nahar Prat. That I'm giving the land of Israel from the Nile, from the Egyptian river, presumably the Nile, all the way north to the Euphrates. Okay? Do not tell CNN about this, right? They think, they're still worried about the West Bank. We're talking about Iran right now, okay? Again, you're going to get children, land of Israel. Oh, but there's like this little price to pay that I know, maybe I forgot to mention earlier, and that price to pay is 400 years and so on. Now, there is something very intriguing about this which may help us regarding a previous issue, and that is, and I'm going to say this quickly, when the Jews actually leave Egypt, it says that after a duration of 430 years, the Jews left Egypt. Rashi, the Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra, which really means all of what we call the Pashtanim, all of the commentaries that like to say Pshat, they all use what's called the Seder Olam Rabbah. It's a Midrash. They all use the Seder Olam Rabbah to give the background of this, and all of them claim that the following. Again, we can read the Midrash or just talk it to you outside. The only reason we don't know this or remember it, you should remember because I've said this already 10 times, but the reason we don't remember it sometimes is because, or people don't seem to know this, is because it's not written really over here. Rashi doesn't say it here. What is it? They say when they leave Egypt, it's 430 years. Now, anybody who's been living in Israel for a while understands this completely. God said 400 years, now it's 430 years. What's the reason? Ribit v'hatzmada. Right? It's right that happens to all of us. Suddenly, ribit v'hatzmada, the whatever. And 80% mom and whatever. Right? Right? So the price went up. But that doesn't work well with God, right? How do you get to 430 years? You said 400 years. Now, we're very used to saying, Right, on Pesach night, Hashem chishev et haketz. Ketz is 190. He took 190 off of the 400. Only came down to 210 years. Which means, when it comes down to it, actually, if you look at the math, when we were only in Egypt 210 years. On top of that, we were only slaves for 86 years. That seems to be the number which is accepted by Chazal. So where do we get to 400 years? And what's the 430 years? So Chazal say that what's the 400 years? The 400 years is from when? It's from when? From the birth of Yitzchak. Now, how can you justify that it's from the birth of Yitzchak? What did the promise actually say? What did the promise say? Bayom hahu, again, Pasuk Yudched, Bayom hahu karat Hashem et Avram brit lemor lezar acha natati et haaretz hazot. Your descendants are going to be getting this land. But what else did he say? Look at the verse for the 400 years. That was back in Yud Gimel. Now, I'm a little scared over here because I'm going to do something I never do, and this is based upon how you read this in terms of the diktuk. The first important thing here is where the etnachta is placed. Vayomer l'Avraham yodea teda ki ger yezar acha be'eretz lo lahem vavadum ve'inu otam. Okay? Where is the etnachta? Do you know the etnachta? The upside down? Right. Under the wishbone, under the taf of the otam. So that's the whole first clause. The second clause is arbama ot shana. What is the arbam, the 400 years, what does it come to modify? So if you read it without the etnachta, you're right. If you read it without the etnachta, it says, again, know that they're going to be strangers in a land which isn't theirs, they're going to be enslaved, and they're going to be abused 400 years. So it sounds like the abuse is 400 years. But once you notice that... once you notice that etnachta is there, that means that the Abar Mochana now modifies the very beginning of the verse, that you'll be strangers for 400 years. So, but it talks about your descendants will be strangers for 400 years. From the day Yitzchak was born, did Yitzchak own the land? Did he have the taba? Was Yitzchak the prime minister? Was he the king of Israel? Did Yitzchak was the one who made the rules? Or was Yitzchak a stranger in a land which wasn't his? Was he a stranger in a land which wasn't his? It's his in terms of future claims. When he was there, was he in charge? Okay. Good. Again, you're also a raving West Bank lunatic Zionist. But, that's good. But, I'll say it again. Was Yitzchak in charge? This was good. This is a simple yes or no. Was Yitzchak in charge?
No.
It's hard, right? It's hard. Okay, good. Let's stop there for a second. There's
But who was in charge?
Well, when he lived in Eretz Plishtim, who was in charge? Right. Actually, who was in charge? I do want to Merach Gra. Listen to the Ibn Ezra in Shemot. I have it. He writes, Umoshav b'nei Israel, tirgimu hazakinim. Which zakinim? Remember the story with the 70 elders who were put into 70 different rooms, and miraculously they all gave the exact same translation? The Septuagint? That's what he's talking about. The Gemara says there was a story that he wanted to translate the Chumash, but 70 people in 70 rooms, they all came to the same translation. Rav Huttner famously said they were in 70 different rooms. If they were all in the same room, then it would have been a miracle if they all agreed. Okay. It's not funny, right? But it's true. Why? You think it means this? What are you talking about? Okay. Right. He said, if all in the same room, then let's see them all agree. Okay. So he says, Targumu azakenim, if you remember, when the Gemara there, which tells us about the translation, they made a couple of changes. Asher yeshvu b'mitzrayim uvishar artzot. The 400 years when they were in Egypt and other places. He goes on to say, v'yesh omur ki eretz kanan b'yimimahim tacha yad melech mitzrayim hayta. He goes. Egypt was the greatest world power here. That they were in charge at that point. he, I'm skipping a little bit. He says, a source you don't have. V'tosefet shloshim shana al ketz ad, it's al ketz, it's Avraham miyom tzeitomi artso. That the extra 30 years goes back from the day that Avraham left his hometown. The 30 years is from the day that Avram left his hometown. One second, that's very interesting. He says the 30 years, what? Yeah, and he says, "Bizeu perishal gaon," so of Sadi gaon, nachon hu. He goes, this is correct. The Rashbam and Rashi both say that the 30 years, extra 30 years, is when God spoke to him, when God said it to him. Which means they're all understanding the same thing, that there is a pause between Lech Lecha and when Avram actually leaves. It says that he's 75 years old when he leaves from Haran, but Haran's very funny. He says, "Leave your land, leave your birthplace." Why say leave your birthplace? He's in Haran. He goes, "No." If God said Lech Lecha, leave your birthplace, when he was still by his birthplace, so he left his birthplace. How do he leave his birthplace? Go back now to Terach, leaves with him. So therefore, that's the last thing that he leaves is his father's home, because picked up the pegs, took up the tent, and they started going. But he still, and maybe that's the tragedy. Maybe even Avram had hopes. Just think about it. He gets to Haran, call a nefesh yeshev Haran, they come with him. Lot wants to join. Okay, Lot comes with him as well. But maybe he has hopes for his father as well. And that seems to be, at some point, he has this realization that he can, that's the tragedy. Avram is like the greatest kiruv worker in the world, but he can't convince his father to keep Shabbos. That's exactly the tragedy. And he has to turn around and leave his father. And his father lives a long time afterwards. That's part of the cover-up, if you look at the last Rashi at the end of Noah. Now, this is interesting. Because what we're being told over here is that this, according to Rashi, this part of the Brit Bein HaBetarim, which I told you before, may either be a continuation or a separate vision. This is said, according to Rashi, 30 years before Yitzchak was born. Yitzchak is born when Avram's 100 years old. 30 years before that, Avram is 70. Avram is 75 when he leaves Haran, which means that this is 5 years before where we started the Parshat Lech Lecha, when Avram actually starts to move from Haran. But it could therefore be, remember the question, there was a couple questions in the beginning. One question was, what's missing? What's missing is a bracha for children in the land of Israel. Both of those are addressed over here before Lech Lecha. Second point is, and as I said, I don't know when he says Lech Lecha. I don't know how to put that in order. I know when he leaves, but I don't know when God said, I don't know what God said first, Lech Lecha, or if God said this first. I don't know, but I'm saying these two elements are here. The other thing which is interesting, that over here, we don't know where Avram is when he's sleeping right here. If it's before Lech Lecha, then where is he? In Or Kasdim. But if he's Or Kasdim, God says to him, I'm going to give you this land. And what's the boundaries of the land as described over here? From Egypt all the way up to the Euphrates. Which means Avram could be camping out right next to the Euphrates, and God says, I'm giving you this land. But it's also interesting, until where? Until which border? Until the Nile. Which means that Avram does know that he should not be going past the Nile, because that's not the land that was promised to him. So as I said, once you take this section and you put it in its proper chronological order, so things become a little bit more interesting. But for our purposes, again, the elements that we were looking for, the land, children, are here. But there's only one problem again. And what's the problem? The price. The price is, there's this like price I forgot to mention before. 400 years, you're going to get this land. But you're not going to get this land for 400 years. Which means for the next 400 years, even though we're convinced it's his, right? It was Yitzchak's, right? It was Yaakov's, right? But they were never the Balabayit. They were, which means when does the children of Avram finally become the real owners of the land, not until they enter in the times of Yeshua. They're strangers which land which isn't theirs for 400 years, and the only thing you can mention now is the desert. During the desert, you can start to argue. During the desert, they're not strangers' land which isn't theirs, but it's not theirs, not somebody else's either. It's ownerless land, so it's ownerless land. So I'm saying, but still, the land itself where they're in is ownerless land, so therefore they're strangers in a land which isn't theirs for 400 years, or 430 years from the time that God said it, or 430 years from the time that Avram left. And as I said, the Ibn Ezra suggests that this was owned by the Egyptians, which leads us now, let's really get to one more dialogue, and that is actually only one, maybe we'll get to two more, and we'll have to finish in 5 minutes. In source number 6, Avram's 99 years old. God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. What is going to be the content of the covenant? You will be the father of many nations. Still in source 6, Pasuk Vav, Hefreiti etcha ma'od, b'ma'od ma'od, unatata d'geim m'lachim m'mcha, Avram mongayim natati, right, sorry, Yetzeu. You're going to have many, many descendants. Vakimoti et priti beni uveinacha veinzaracha acharech ledoratam brit olam. We're going to have a covenant forever. Many children. Natatilcha lezaracha acharecha eretz mergurecha. Again, land of Israel. Again, children. Again, these things keep coming back again and again. And what's the price? Zot priti beni uveinacha veinzaracha acharecha himolachem kol zachar. And once again, there's a price that you get that you paid for it. What's the price? Circumcision. So I'm just pointing out this comes again and again. God keeps giving Avraham things, presents, whatever, and there constantly is a price on the other hand. Moving towards our last source for today, source number 8. Number 8 is at the very end of Vayera, and this is the introduction to the Akedah. The Achored Rima Eila Velukim Nisa at Avraham. So here we finally have the word test being used. Again, lech lecha goes in. Although over here, what does it say the next day? Over here, Avram immediately goes ahead and sets out to do it. Vayashkeim Avram baboker was actually missing in our lech lecha. Continue. You know how the story goes. Top of page 3. Vayikra malach Hashem al Avram shenit min hashamayim. What was the first time he said to him? Stop. Right? Stop. Now he calls out a second time. Vayomer bi nishbati ne'um Hashem ki yan asher asiti davar hazeh. You have fulfilled your side of the covenant, or you have fulfilled your side of the test, or you have fulfilled what I've asked for you to do. How did he fulfill it? The willingness to do it. What's going to happen now? And you didn't hold back your son, which, again, if you think about it, his son is actually what he's been promising him. So now God is really saying to Avraham, you remember this thing that you're so concerned about? You remember this thing that you keep asking me for? You remember this thing I kept promising you about? Are you willing to give it back to me? Are you willing now to take your son and give him back to me? Which means that everything else falls apart. Why does everything fall apart? Because if there's no son, then there's no future generations. No future generations. The promise of the land of Israel given to future generations. It's not just that it's his one son. The whole thing is over. So basically God is saying to him, are you willing to now give back the keys and give back everything and to allow me, I don't want to say the word renege, are you willing now to forego everything? Everything that was said till now. Okay? Everything that was said. Yeah, but God doesn't seem to think that. At bincha yechidcha, your only son. God seems to think that the only real. Yes, he does say that. So God seems to think the only son has to be from Sarah. If it's not from Sarah, it doesn't really count. It's just a fling. Okay, sorry I said that. So. But now look what God says. Or through the angel in Posuk Yud Zayin. Ki varech. Avarechecha. What does that mean? Do we remember that from someplace? That was said from Lech Lecha. Good. V'harber be'et zarecha k'choch v'yashamayim. Do we remember that?
Yeah.
That was said by the Brit Ben Abtarim. V'k'chol asher al sfat hayam. When was that said? That was said after Lot separated from him. V'yirash zarecha et shariva. V'yitpachu b'zarecha kol goya aretz. And everyone will be blessed through you. Do you realize what just now happened? Avraham is being asked to sacrifice everything that God gave him And once he's willing to do that, God turns around and now gives him everything that he had promised before. Which means if you notice over here, the content of the bracha that he gives by the Akedah, the content of this bracha are all of the brachot that God had promised to Avram over the years. All of them come right now. But again, I'll say, on the other hand, Avram was willing to sacrifice everything that God had promised him all over all of those years. So again, what did we set out to look at? We set out to look at, in a certain sense, the dialogue between Avram and God, or between God and Avram, to look at the spiritual relationship between the two, to chart what it was that God said to Avram at which point. And we realize that as we're following it through, there are certain elements which are said in some places, certain elements which are said in other places, but we also now realize that what happens right here by the Akedah is really so outstanding, because at this point, everything that was said at every single point is touched upon, and now God confirms, okay, this is it. Everything goes, and with this, really, we come to an end of the God-Avraham dialogue, relationship, in the sense of finding where God speaks to Avraham, or even through an angel at this point, because at this point now everything has been proven, everything has been promised, and at this point now all that waits is the fruition.